The World Tomorrow. Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. What have you heard of a plan that would bring world peace at last and in less than 10 short years? What if you could hear the news widely published and you could have absolute conviction and confidence in the fact that this world is going to know peace in less than another 10 years? And have absolute safeguards and guarantees that such a plan is going to be put into effect? And what if further you could know that already certain elements of this plan are in progression, that they are being worked out right now? That would be pretty good news, wouldn't it? But you know, we're so accustomed to the bad news today, I imagine that would sound too good to be true to most of us because we've grown mental and spiritual calluses. We treat the war in Vietnam, the international problems, then the national problems, the county and the city problems, with an almost sort of a casual, day-in, day-out attitude. We know that it's going to be bad news. Every single morning you wake up, if you're living in the same world I'm in, and I think you are, whether you're in Tasmania or South Africa, you first of all begin with a lot of the bad news from other parts of the world. In the United States, of course, we hear constantly about the war in Vietnam. I imagine you people in Britain get a good amount of that as well. Then you hear about the bad news from Yemen or Aden. Then you hear about the bad news from maybe the Congo. Then the chances are it's some horrible weather upset. Then the next thing you hear is maybe something else, some shocking, startling, fantastic statement about the population explosion. And right after that, it's some of the government skullduggery and chicanery, or maybe some sensational investigation into the private lives of governors, people in high places. And then we come down to the national problem. So then you hear about this or that governmental project, or about foreign aid, or an increase in taxes, or elections, or maybe the sensational cases of additional investigations into presidential assassinations. Then you hear about all of the terrible, first of all, plane wrecks, then right behind them the local, and that's all they can cover because, after all, in the United States we are still managing to kill far more people on our highways than we are in Vietnam. And so you hear only the local automobile accidents, all the maimed people. Then you get sprinkled in between all this bad news, the reports of our jammed freeways and expressways, and where the pileups and the collisions are, and how many giant traffic jams there are. And then even all of this bad news is sprinkled with commercials, and this is how come the news is on the air. People buy commercial time, of course. And these commercials usually are advertising more cigarettes so that we can have more smog and we can even have more lung cancer. And then, of course, more automobiles of all types. I don't know why it is that jazzy music is supposed to make your car better, but this is the way they're advertised. And you hear a nice little ditty. And so we hear about more automobiles so we can have bigger traffic jams and more accidents. Well, you know, you begin to wonder. So many people do, and they write and they say, well, where is it all going to end? Just where are we going? How's it going to come out? You begin to wonder, where is all of this leading? And when are we going to begin to hear some good news for a change? Well, my friends, get ready for some good news. Because I have it on topmost authority, and it's already been approved, it's been agreed upon, it has been thoroughly approved by the top powers, the biggest powers, and is being put into effect right now. Some of the beginning changes already taking place right now in your lifetime of world peace at last, of a method by which total disarmament can and will be achieved and in less than 10 years, a method by which the nuclear arsenals will be done away with and destroyed, and every last vestige of weapons for war will be completely annihilated from the face of the earth. I have it on topmost authority. International settlements of all disputes are going to be possible. One world court, a worldwide ruling government that will be able to arbitrate in the disputes and the problems of mankind and bring us world peace at last. And this means other great changes. It means a total change, first of all, in the population explosion and the resultant threat of mass starvation and drought and famine that continually and frequently takes thousands of lives in many areas of the earth. It means also total change in language. It means total change in world transportation. It means total change in cultural patterns. It means that the many have-not nations, the impoverished, downtrodden nations of sickness and disease, Central South America, Africa, Asia, are going to be sharing in the world's wealth, and that for the first time, you're going to begin reading about everybody having adequate food supplies. Now, does that sound too good to be true? You know, to most people, I imagine it would sound too good to be true. You would have to say, well, yes, but that's talking about, you're talking about a supranational world ruling government. You're talking about one world government that would have the power to be, well, it would have to be so powerful that it would literally have the power to change the religions of hundreds of millions of people. That's right. That is exactly right. That's, you're on the right track. That's what I'm talking about. You might say, well, you're talking about somebody really taking the decisions out of the hands of man. And even when many large political groups would totally disagree with this kind of a plan, that you put it into effect anyhow. You're talking about some kind of an authoritative world governing force, some kind of a supranational police force to enforce this kind of a law. That's right, you're on the right track. That's exactly what I'm talking about. But my friends, I'm also talking about a plan for world peace. A thoroughly documented, carefully gone over, and completely approved plan for world peace that was brought to this earth nearly 2,000 years ago, was promptly rejected by many people, and then the messenger who brought it is lauded and praised and accepted. And again, if you're thinking I mean Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you're still on the right track. I do. Now, here's the thing. Most people have never thought of Jesus Christ as having anything to do whatsoever with today, first of all. And secondly, they have never thought that Jesus talked about government, that he was concerned about world conditions, even in his own day, let alone looking on down into our time. People do not realize Jesus Christ of Nazareth was a newscaster who looked clear on down beyond the ages and into our day today, and very skillfully and accurately predicted every one of the major events of the big powers that are affecting your daily way of living. Can I prove those statements? You bet I can. They're in the Bible, but the average person has never thought to look into the Bible to get the proof. Jesus Christ of Nazareth was a newscaster. He was also the advance emissary of a coming world-ruling government. And he talked about vast reform. The Bible is a book that talks about agrarian reform. It talks about linguistic reform. It really does. There are prophecies about this world coming to the place of one language. This has been a dream of mankind, let's face it. For many years, we've acknowledged that geographical separation, mountain barriers, deserts and oceans, and a separation of continents and so on, even rivers, they have kept cultures separated. And we know that one of the great handicaps to understanding between men is because we can't understand each other's minds, because you get a person who speaks one language and then a different language together. They're speaking through interpreters. There is not a meeting of minds. They can't seem to get down to that real open-hearted discussion to resolve conflicts and difficulties. And so we know that the breakdown of some of these languages, by that I mean the knowledge of many languages, and people beginning to learn more than one, learning 5, 6, 8 tongues, and the fact that English has now gradually replaced French, and before that Latin as the one world language, has led to many breakthroughs in communications among men. The breakthroughs today of radio and television communications and the printing press have meant proliferation of knowledge and the availability of knowledge to more and more people. Well, Christ talked about that as well. He talked about a time when knowledge, and the kind of knowledge that is basic knowledge, trunk of the tree knowledge about what we are, knowledge about biology, physics, chemistry, the basic framework of knowledge from which all the technical sciences must be viewed, he said that knowledge is going to so fill this earth. Well, I'll tell you the analogy he drew. He drew the analogy of that kind of knowledge filling this earth just like the seas fill the beds of the oceans, just like water in the sea, just flooding over the earth with total dissemination of right knowledge. He talked about vast reforms of all types. How would you like to read in a could-be newspaper that I can send you free of charge, absolutely no price for it, no come-on intended whatsoever, of this headline, "Total Disarmament Achieved"? It takes these conditions that are prophesied to occur, and then, as if they have already occurred, this newspaper writes from that point of view, from the perspective of people in tomorrow year, already reading of this good news, the kind of articles they'll be reading. And here's this one article. It's a kind of an appetizer for you. And this newspaper, this could-be newspaper, is contained in a booklet that is by the title of the same radio program, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. What kind of a world am I talking about? What kind of reforms? What kind of a plan for all these vast revolutions, these complete 180 shifts in direction all over the world? Well, I'll show you when you write for this booklet. Full color. You can read it in one sitting, and it's some of the most scintillating and gripping reading you have ever had the pleasure of sitting down to in all of your life. Now, here's this little excerpt from this one could-be newspaper that is inside, folded inside this booklet you will receive. Total disarmament achieved. The subtitle, only piles of scrap metals and non-combustible war relics remain as disarmament program reaches final climax. From Jerusalem, Millennial Press International. Hailed as the best news of the good news you've been hearing is the wonderful announcement of the last vestige of destructive weaponry appearing or disappearing from the earth. Thousands of workers cheered the ruling family of God as members attended the formal ceremonies marking the conversion of the last munitions factory in Irkutsk into an ultra-modern solar-powered automobile works. This brings to a completion the huge worldwide search for hidden arms, war relics, ancient souvenirs, and unexploded ammunition that had become such a part of the news of late. Then it goes on to talk about how millions cooperated worldwide in this search and how it netted all of these dangerous things, how they were disposed of. This is a little bit of an article that shows you this four-page tabloid-sized newspaper, a could-be newspaper that looks into the future and shows you how Atlas missiles ought to become bean silos and not used to destroy human beings. Now, why isn't it possible? We want it. Everybody wants it. We pray for it. Mothers say, oh, I wish the war were over in Vietnam. You read about the daily little block in the newspaper of the people who were killed who live in your area. We want world peace. We want happiness. We want joy. We want success. We want an absence of sickness, disease, violence, crime. We don't like to hear the howls and the wails of starving people or the screams of the anguished as they die on the battlefield or the moans of the sick in hospitals. We don't like to hear the groans of loved ones who are beset with this or that debility, sickness, or disease. We want to get rid of it. We cry out with a sort of a pain about the conditions around us. Well, my friends, we're going to be rid of these things. God Almighty wants us rid of them. He also wants us to realize the cause. He wants us to get rid of the cause. And he is going to bring and to enforce a plan, a program on this earth that is going to make people concentrate for the first time in their lives on what causes war. On what causes human suffering? Why do we have malformed children? Why do we have these physical debilities of ours? Why do we have 92 million Americans walking around with a registered chronic disease out of the total population of supposedly the healthiest nation on the face of the earth, the most overfed, undernourished nation on the face of the earth? And why does only 6% of the population have 50% of the wealth? And yet that 6% is just plagued and burdened down with sickness and disease and crime and divorce and violence. Our mail, which is certainly reflecting a good, if you can call it good, cross-section of life the way people are living it, our mail shows us that people are concerned as never before with, first of all, their personal problems such as sickness and disease, economic problems, marital problems, and we find an avalanche, an absolute tidal wave of marital infidelity, of lustful, gluttonous, unfaithful practices that are wrenching and ripping aside homes by the millions in our peoples today, in our lands. And then next on the list, we find weather. Natural calamities and disasters are worrying people today, and they're wondering, why do we have them? Little do we seem to realize Jesus Christ of Nazareth foretold this day, this time. He looked down and with incredible accuracy foretold exactly life the way you would see people living it around you right now. And he went on beyond that to foretell the outcome. And in this booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, you see, first of all, we look to every aspect of the present civilization. We look to government. We look to religion. We look to the social order. We look to science and technology. We look to commerce and industry. We look to every aspect of it, and we find out point by point, where are they headed? What do they have to offer? What is the very last, up-to-the-moment, up-to-date thing that they have come through with? What is the biggest breakthrough here or there? What are their predictions in each facet of life today in this civilization about the world that they want to create for you? Whether the social order or the medical scientists or what have you. For instance, the idea of the medical scientists of a one-shot injection, inoculation, into a baby before it's even born. To immunize it from every disease there is imaginable. To some people, this might sound good. Wouldn't it sound a lot better if you could know that there would be perfect health and no shot needed and instantaneous relief from sickness and disease if and when sickness and disease ever did strike because of any sins of our own that brought about wrong circumstances through a wrong cause? This booklet, step by step, in a very systematic manner and fashion, shows you exactly what is wrong today, then shows you why it is wrong, shows you the cause, and then tells you the good news and the outcome that is prophesied in the Bible. It's a booklet worth having, and it costs you absolutely nothing except a little bit of gumption or spiritual courage, you can call it that, to ask for it. Getting rid of your prejudices. You're trying to assume that I'm doing this or that, or I'm somebody, or I'm after something, or what am I trying to grind an axe for, and what am I talking about? Well, have at it. Enjoy yourself. But in the meantime, acknowledge that I don't know who you are, as we say, from Adam. And I don't know whether you're driving in your car or listening at home or whether you're one of the many, many people listening on your bed in the hospital or what your circumstances are, but I do know this. I know there's quite an example in the Bible that is given about people who lived in a little town called Berea on ancient Asia Minor, back in what is well today modern-day Turkey, the Anatolian Peninsula, and they were a perpetual example of people who had an open mind. They weren't going to swallow anything. They were cagey. They were careful. They were cautious. The same kind of person you ought to be before you let anything get into your mind that you don't want to admit into it. You ought to be cautious. The Bible talks about being as wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. But it talked about the Bereans who, when they heard a message that was so totally different, the Apostle Paul came along, and they'd heard a lot of pagan ideas and so on. They didn't know whether they ought to worship Helena or whether they ought to worship Dagon or who. Now, here came a brand new, totally different approach to doctrine than they'd ever heard before. Instead of saying, who does this crazy jailbird Paul think he is? And that's the oldest dodge in human vocabulary, isn't it? Who does he think he is? When we do that, what we're saying is, well, I am a bigot. I am a prejudiced character. My mind is closed. I'm not willing to listen. And who does this guy think he is only our excuse. And instead of doing that, these Bereans searched the scriptures daily, in these daily sessions and lessons, and they looked carefully back and forth. They compared. And therefore, many of them believe, because they did this, because they had the spiritual courage and the gumption to look into it with an open mind, and they search the scriptures daily not to find out those things were wrong. Like many people, they will search the Bible or search this book or the philosophical concept or argue about the other idea in order to prove somebody wrong. This is what happens in a debate. In a debate, neither side is really searching for truth, especially. They've made up their mind what they're going to believe, and each side is just trying to clash with and to put the other side at the disadvantage. They're trying their very level best to show up the other side and to make the other side look a little bit foolish. They listen, but when they listen, it's only to grab onto an argument, and it's only to batter down the other fellow's arguments. It's not a unified, wholehearted, open-eyed, innocent search for truth, which will be accepted and believed and obeyed when it's found. But the Bereans have that, and they were willing to look into it. Now, what about you? This booklet costs you nothing except your spiritual courage to ask for it, and there is no follow-up, there's no request for money. The address I will give you at the close of the broadcast is all you need, and, of course, the call letters of the radio station or the name of the radio station to which you're listening. Be sure to tell us that, and we do that only so we can keep track of which radio stations are reaching the most people, and that's what we want to do, is to reach the most people with this plan, because it's going to be put into effect. It's being put into effect right now. one of the prophecies that was to lead up to this plan being fulfilled was that the good news about this plan, the advance news of the fact of this world-ruling government, of this supranational world-ruling government, was going to reach the ears of multiple millions of people in all nations around the earth. Now, my friends, that's happening to you right now, and that is prophecy being fulfilled. It really is. You don't even have to believe that. As I've said before on this program, it doesn't really matter. And when I say it doesn't matter to anybody else. It does to you, but it doesn't matter to anybody else. And it doesn't matter to the plan being put into effect, whether you accept it or believe it or not. You have right now the time to prove it to yourself or not. That's up to you. You're a free moral agent. So you can take your pick and do what you will. But you'll be very thankful that you got a little breath of spring in your home when you sat down to read that booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, what it will be like, what kind of an environment it can be for our children, the kind of a pioneering era and an age of the world tomorrow, the way it's going to really be, absolute beauty, utopian conditions, pictures in the Bible of animals even being tamed, just like living in a veritable Garden of Eden paradise. You know, people desire to escape today. We desire to escape the land, the society, the city of our own making. We want to get out of it. We want to get away from other people. Well, the only reason we do is because other people are unpleasant critters, because they're unhappy, because they make us unhappy, because we're frustrated around them. And the reason people want to escape into the little village or the country and the highways and byways out away from it all is because we really can't stand each other anymore. If we could, if we knew what was our basic problem and understood our nature and were willing to repent of it and get out of it and get rid of all of that kind of nature that really creates the problems, if we didn't have to be suspicious of our neighbors, we didn't have to carry keys in our pockets, we didn't have to lock our doors and turn out our lights and protect ourselves at night, if we didn't have to live in a society where we are fearful of those beasts that work on the edges and the fringes, so to speak, and prey upon people who don't wish to be preyed upon, then we could have a wonderful world. It would really be something. But today, we don't have it. We've got to watch our wives and children. We have to be careful where they go. We've got the minute a child is 10 minutes late from school, parents begin to fidget and worry, and oh, what could have happened? And almost weekly you hear about some horrible situation of some little child, boy or girl, that's been carried off by some horrible pervert. Won't it be terrific never to have to hear such news again? If you want to read and just almost live for a little while in that kind of a world, then you write for this booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, Peace at Last, Peace with Justice, Agrarian Reform, Linguistic Reform, Complete reconverting of all of the industries of the earth. It's all here. It's all pictured. How people are going to college to take unlearning courses. That's a good one for us. You know, a lot of people need to do that. I talk about evolution a good bit because there are so many absolute proofs against evolution and so many flaws and so many fragmentary, sketchy, shaky notions in the theory of evolution that once in a while it's almost humorous. Now, these are well-intentioned men. They're intelligent men. Evolution is the result of the thought of a lot of very intelligent men. I believe that many world leaders of the past have been intelligent men. I also happen to know that Satan the devil exists and that he is a very intelligent spirit. That he has an awful lot more ability, more power, and more basic intelligence as far as his ability to accumulate facts than the average human being, by far. But I know that his intelligence is totally misdirected. And I know that he has pulled the wool over his own eyes and that he is the master deceiver. I also know that it's possible for a very intelligent person to totally misinterpret certain facts and to go clear off the deep end, not even meaning to do so. It just is a possibility. And it's something you need to admit to yourself and look into it and find out. So, you're going to see in this could-be newspaper that in the future, unlearning courses are going to be extant in the big universities, and students are going to be unlearning. They're going to be going back over some of the old textbooks. They're going to find, well, of all things, I didn't notice that when I went over that textbook. Why, this was only a postulate. It had a maybe and a perhaps and a suppose and a could be, and most scientists are coming to believe, and, well, we think now and this and that. And I just sort of went over that because I was trying to get my degree to go to work for the oil company. Out here blasting with dynamite trying to find out where the oil is located. And so when I took basic geology, when I went through college and got my degree, well, I swallowed all this paleontological record, and I thought that they had it really set up to where evolution was true. I didn't know I was out here working with the remains of the floods, two of which are proved in the Bible. I didn't know I was working with the remains of the flood of Noah and the flood clear back before Adam's day. You might not have known there were two floods that are revealed in the Bible, but there are. Well, here's an article about that, how students are going to be in college. Unlearning, getting out of their minds a lot of preconceived notions and false concepts. And what a real terrific experience it is to sit down and read this booklet. And a lot of pictures in it. Now, for instance, it shows you how modern-day science wants to provide us with a glittering technical Disneyland of a world with every kind of mechanical gadget you can imagine, which is only, when you take it to its ultimate limits, going to make life more wretched and more miserable and more complex than ever before. For instance, what was it? I think 6 is the figure I was reading to my class last time, that for little children in the United States, now the United States has plenty of problems for its babies, and yet in spite of all the malformed children, the thalidomide babies, and all the many, many problems, still, the birth rate and the death rate and the life expectancy and so on, you'd have to say one of the healthiest climates is the United States of America. That's amazing. And it's paradoxical, too, because it's getting worse all the time. But here we are now in our modern homes where we are so loaded with mechanical gadgets, inventions, and contraptions of science, where we have electrical appliances and television sets, and we've got electric knives and all these other knives, all of our cleaning fluids and solvents under the sink, usually, down where babies can get at them. All of our medicine cabinets, where the average home looks like a small hospital, the medicine cabinet is absolutely jammed with all kinds of poisons and drugs and what have you. So we have these little babies, and they're in an environment, a mechanical complex environment, where there are so many possibilities for accident that did you realize that when you take muscular dystrophy and polio and leukemia and, oh, I forget all of them, about 6 of the leading terrible diseases that accidents take more little babies' lives in the United States than all these other top diseases combined. Did you realize that? Now, this is just one of the curses that comes along as an automatic curse on some of the blessings, if you want to call them that, of the material things that man has been able to devise for his own use. Well, just as a little note as an aside on that, watch out for the environment for your little children. But, carried to its ultimate extreme, this is the kind of world that science envisions for us. A Disneyland, a world where it is so filled with gadget there's barely room to turn around and not even any fresh air to breathe anymore. Well, this booklet goes into every bit of that. It shows you what's really wrong with today's big cities. Shows you why mounting crime, why divorce, what's wrong with the social order, what's wrong with governments and religions and what have you. What is the missing ingredient, as Uthman asked, what is still missing that with all of our advancement we still don't have peace? This booklet shows you how we're going to have peace. It's entitled The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. And it's free of charge if you write to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. Request the Plain Truth Magazine. It's all free. There's no charge for it. Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. Be sure to tell us the call letters of your station. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.